as a kehila, we are very, very blessed to have Dayan Lichtenstein at our helm as the Av Beis Din. As a community, we really, really appreciate his guidance, and we appreciate his seichel ayoshar, his humanity, and his piskei halacha. If I see Dayan Lichtenstein at a simcha, at a chasna on the street, I have to go over to him and ask him a shaila, otherwise it's a problem of baltashris. And on a personal level, I want to thank the Dayan for putting up with me and all of the phone calls and all of the shailas which I asked to the Dayan. Dayan Lichtenstein is one of the foremost poskim in Europe, and it's a great privilege for us this evening to welcome Dayan Lichtenstein and ask him, lekavod this wonderful anniversary and this wonderful Shabbos, Shabbat UK and Project Shabbos, which is about to take and is already taking place with over a million people globally, I believe. Is that right? Chief Rabbi, over a million people globally who are apparently who are going to be involved in Shmir Shabbos. A great privilege and honor for us to welcome, in addition to Rabbi Mervis, to ask Dayan Lichtenstein to share some Divrei Torah.
Chief Rabbi. Okay, sorry. to the left.
Maybe just before the Dayan continues, everybody who's outside, there are still some spaces at the front and at the back of the shul. Please do feel free to come in just before the Dayan continues.
Shidduch of two things. This is Shabbos UK and Torah Way. I'm not sure I understand exactly how the shidduch works. I have to admit that when the first mention of this Shabbat UK arose, I was from the skeptics. I didn't feel that in Anglo-Jewry it's going to work. And I'm grateful to see that Baruch Hashem I'm wrong. Torah Way has had this completed now its first year, and as Rabbi Tugendhat says, that the amount of Torah that's propagated is ad ein aroich, mirtz Hashem, should continue to grow Michael el choyel and to teach Torah lishmo. I just want to say, Eila told us Noach ish tzaddik. Everybody talks a lot about Noach ish tzaddik. Here's a medrash. The medrash says, "Chavivin Moshe minoyach." Contrast Moshe and Noach, and it says that Moshe is actually more dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Noach. Why so? So the medrash says like this: when Noach is introduced in the Torah, how are we introduced to Noach? Noach ish tzaddik. When we leave Noach in the Torah, how is Noach described? Isha Adomo. He is fallen from starting off Ish Tzadik, and he's become the Isha Adomo. While Moshe Rabbeinu, as Punkt Fakert, how is Moshe Rabbeinu introduced to us in the Torah? As Ish Mitzri. And when we leave Moshe Rabbeinu, V'zois ha-brocha sh'berach Moshe ish Elokim. And the Medrash actually points out, but the Medrash doesn't really explain what's the reason behind it. I'm going to soon come back to it to explain a little bit. We speak about tzidkis and tzaddik. What does it mean? All of us are familiar with the Rashi in this week's Sedra. Eila todos noyach, noyach ish tzaddik, tomim hoyo b'deiroiso. And Rashi brings a machloikas. Yesh dorshin lishvach, v'yesh dorshin lignai. Some learn that it lishvach, praiseworthy. What does that mean, praiseworthy? Ish tzaddik, he was tam hoya b'dayroisav, he was a tzaddik in his door. Just imagine, and if in such a door, with all these rishoyim around, he was a tzaddik, had he lived in the door of Avraham Avinu, he would have been even a greater tzaddik. Yesh darshin lishvach. And as usual, it's always yesh darshin lignai. There are some who say, aha, in his door he was a tzaddik. Had he lived in Avraham Avinu's door, I would give it a garnish. It would be nothing. It wouldn't, his tzidkus wouldn't count. So on the surface, it looks as if you have a machlokes here between two mefarshim. What would have been the, it's interesting, a theory. What, had Noach lived in, it's a real Yiddish Shaila, had Noach lived in Avraham's time, what would have been, how would he have rated as a tzaddik? It's a theoretical question. I mean, really, at the end of the day, my nafkamina, who cares? But it's lahagdu Torah ladir. It's a machlokes. It looks as if it's a machlokes. Well, not everybody learns it's a machlokes. In the Rabbeinu Elio Mizrahi, the Pirish on Rashi in Chumash, says there's no machlokes here. He says like this, and he says the tzidkis of Noach, listen very carefully, was not very impressive. It wasn't. However, that was because he lived in that type of door. Had he given an opportunity to be with Tzaddikim, he would have been greater. This is how he learns. So the Shvach is that he didn't get influenced by the door, he didn't get worse. That's the Yesh Darshin L'Shvach. And the Yesh Darshin L'Gnai say his tzidkus was not too impressive. So according to Rabbi Eliezer Mizrahi, and he's not the only one, there are other Mefarshim in the Chumash, also learned that there's no Machlekes. According to this the Ram, as we often call Rabbi Eliezer Mizrahi, he says like this, his tzidkus was not very impressive. However, had he lived in a door that there would have been tzaddikim, then he would have been greater. Now, it begs the question, was Noach someone who was easily influenced or not? If you think about it, what you're saying is this. On the one hand, had he lived in a door of tzaddikim, he would have been influenced by that tzaddikim and he would have been even a greater individual. However, since he did not live in the door of tzaddikim, he only lived in a door of rishayim, of evil people, so his tzidkus was not impressive. Why is he some? He just didn't get worse. Why not? Why didn't he get worse? What was it? What did he do? Well, how did he behave, Noach, that stopped him from getting worse? I'm going to come to that in a minute. My father, Zichron Lebracha, used to say, he looked at it a little bit different. He said that the machlekes, or rather the two opinions, whether yesh darshin l'shvach or yesh darshin l'gnai, is that his tzidkus was not special, but he himself had a potential to be a greater person. Well, however you want to learn. But this idea of why was Noach not influenced has always bothered me. What was it about, and interestingly enough, that you say because he was not influenced, he was called a tzaddik because of that? You'd say, okay, I know there are plenty of people who find themselves in very difficult situations, you know, and they remain with their Yiddishkeit, but you wouldn't call them tzaddikim. They may be very fine people. Why should that be called a tzaddik? There is a Malbim. What the Malbim says, something of extremely important perception on the difference between the door of Avraham and the door of Noach. What were the Averis that went on in Noach's time? And what were the Averis that went on in Avraham's time? What was the difference between those two generations? Noach's door was basically, simply, corrupt. They were, the word Hashchosa and Chomus, they were thieves, they were Ganovim, they were sexual deviants, they had all kinds of gashmius issues that affected them. And that was the Nisayud, you might say, in Noach's door. Avram's was different, Malm says. The challenges in Avram's door were of an intellectual nature. The Eir Shaila was Avodah Zarah and Kfira. The challenge was not of a Gashmius type of issue. And you think about it, the question is, which is the bigger sakana? Is a Gashmius Yetzirah worse, or is a Ruchnius Yetzirah worse? I'm not usually one who quotes Musa's form, and I just happen to have seen it accidentally. But there's a sefer called Madregas HaOdom from the Alter from the Vardik. Well, you see, you know the sefer. Well, I don't have too much of it. But he says a word there, which I thought was quite telling. And he says this. He says that because the door was so decadent in Noach's time, because it was so mushkes, he says, Noach had to work very hard to remain on a regular level. Sometimes when you find yourself, a person finds himself in low company, in uncool company, it's not enough just to stay the way you are. Because if you stay the way you are, you will eventually fall. You've got to sometimes, as the Rambam say, go to the other side, and to be extreme, in order to keep yourself balanced. So he says, the Alter from the Vardik says, that's what the Meforshim mean. They say it as follows. Had Noach lived in Avram's time, so then he wouldn't have to work so hard. The challenges would have been not this as bad. He would have had Avram Avinu around as a support. He wouldn't have had to work so hard. What happened is, in this case though, because of the hashchos that went on, he had to work hard, and you saw an amazing thing, that the moment the pressure went off, what happened to Noach? He fell apart. You find some people in life that under normal circumstances they're very impressive, and when the going gets tough, they say the tough get going. They can't stand when real pressures, real challenges face them, they fall apart. Some people who are punkt verkehrt, just different. That under normal circumstances they don't shine. But when the Nisoyin comes, all of a sudden, when the difficulty comes, they shine. And that was Noach. When the difficulty came, he shone. He was a tzaddik. But had he lived in the direction of Rome, where the difficulty wouldn't have been that grace, right, it would have been different. Going back to the first question I asked, the Medrash. The Medrash discusses the difference between Noach and Moshe, and he says that Noach started off as a tzaddik and ended up as an isha adamo. And I asked the question, why? Rav Meir Simcha says a good, interesting shot in Meshech Chacham. He says, let's examine the tzidkis of Moshe and the tzidkis of Noach. We'll see something quite telling. Noach was a gewaltige tzaddik. In Yiddish, there's an expression called a tzaddik in pelts. Pelts is the fancy rabbonische clothes they used to wear. And a tzaddik in pelts was, he was a tzaddik for himself. And sometimes you have such, I tell you, there's two types of people. You have a tzaddik, someone who sits in his room all day, davening, learning, thinking about Avodas Hashem, and thinking of all good things that he has to do, and a tzaddik. Sometimes you have another tzaddik who doesn't sit in his room. He goes out to the people. He deals with everyone. That's the difference between Noach and Moshe. Noach worried about himself. He didn't worry about the rest of the door. Moshe Rabbeinu, on the other hand, spent his whole life dealing with Klal Yisrael. Normally, if you'd ask somebody a shaila and say, which is the greater tzaddik? You would have said to yourself, the first one. The first one is a person who does not face any yetzaharas. He doesn't have the pressures of business. He doesn't have the pressures of the outside world. He doesn't have the nisyonos. He's able to be kadosh, like a nazir. He's able to be separate from society and rise. Says the Medrash, no. Noach, who didn't dedicate himself to the tzibur, but Noach dedicated himself to himself, in the end, what happened? He became a Isha Adoma. Moshe Rabbeinu, who started off as an Ish Mitzri, but spent his whole life dealing with Klal Yisrael and going out to the people and being involved with the tzibur, suffering for many times, Moshe Rabbeinu ended up being a Ish Elikim. Here's what Meir Simcha tells us. And it's important, a lesson in life. It's very easy for someone to separate himself from society. And by doing so, one thinks that I have an opportunity to grow. But it's not true. That's not how one should be. I want to tell you, Rabbi Yisrael, an incredible story. My father, Zecherno Livracha, suffered in his last years a stroke, a very severe stroke. And he didn't get up immediately. They performed surgery on him. And the doctors were not sure whether he would make it. And I insisted on them doing the surgery. He recovered, and he survived the surgery. But he hadn't woken up. And always, of course, you know, someone has a stroke, you run the risk of becoming comatose. And after several days, slowly, he began to emerge from the comatose state that he was in. And the doctors were unsure of his intelligence, so they weren't sure, how is he? How is he really? So they told me, well, speak to your father. And the first thing is they asked me, give him a piece of paper to write something on. And he wrote in Hebrew, Makara, what happened? I told him, that's incredible. Most people write their name. And it was terrible, very illegible, because his hands were at the end of the stroke. They said, say something to him to see how he responds. So I said, my father, Talmud Chacham, I asked him a shayla. I know it sounds absolutely bizarre, but this is what happened. I asked him the following shayla. I said, Pa, why is it that a nazir grows his hair long, gadel pera, and he's called kadosh, and the kohen gadol, who's also called kadosh, have to take a haircut every day, a marushach, which is kadosh. So my father says, and he's beginning to emerge from a stroke. And he says, the nozir, he said in Yiddish, leifta weg from the welt. It's a kadosh, he says, but it's a very schwache kadosh. The Kohen Gadol, he says, is the forsteher, is the representative of Klal Yisrael. And that's why he has to look good. And that's the way how one should be. I told the doctor he's fine. Doctors did not believe it, but it's a true story. I just want to finish up by wishing you all Hatzlacha for this last year of Limud HaTorah. The Baruch Shalom should give you all in a spirit of Hasmoda to be able to take go Michael El Choyel. And while the rest of Anglo Jewry is celebrating Shabbos, we're going to celebrate Limud HaTorah. Thank you.